In Psalms chapter 92 and verse number 10, we find our key verse. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now some look at the word there, the horn of a unicorn, as being a wild oxen or a wild beast in that aspect. And so it goes on and it says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now I've underlined the words fresh oil. That gives us an indication that it needs to be continual. It needs to be something that continues. Yes. It needs to be a daily thing.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, as my pastor has made the statement, and I'm sure you've heard it, I need the anointing of God to go to Walmart.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
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 And so with that being said, I believe this is appropriate. And there's a lot that we could probably mention here. As a matter of fact, it's kind of unique that our pastor, where we attend right now when we're not ministering, actually ministered on this verse. And I looked over some of the notes that I jotted down. I'm going to go into those overall. But one of the things that I caught as I heard this verse being mentioned, and I want to mention to you, it says, but my horn shall thou exalt like a horn of a unicorn. And when we think about that of a unicorn's horn, we're talking about even the possibility of a shofar. We're talking about how, and I think a good example is here, even at the church, when they go to ordain or anoint somebody, a pastor has a shofar, mm-hmm. and it has oil in it. And so I like the thoughts of what's even being said here. The horns shalt thou exalt, or my horn shall be exalted like the horn. And he exalts that. He lifts it up. He lifts it up. And so for the horn that's going to hold the anointing oil, or that's going to be the vessel that pours it out, has to be lifted. Even the fact if we use it for worship, the shofar, to bring forth the sound, we lift it to our lips and we blow, and we have the blast, we have the warning, we have the war cry, we have the worship cry. And so I think this is important today to realize definitely that it must be a continual freshness. Yes, it's wonderful that you were filled with the Holy Ghost 40 years ago, but are you operating in that anointing today?
That's right.
Amen.
Yes. Can't live on yesterday's anointing.
That's exactly right. In our introduction, it brings out the Lord wants leaders to be successful and to impact the world for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And ask a question here. How can you be that kind of leader? Mm-hmm. Now, it brings up some things that I think that are interesting here. It says having knowledge or practical areas and the general task of leaders will help you become successful. There are biblical qualifications, and we'll talk some about that, but also for leaders, which are also necessary. There's spiritual gifts, skills, education, experience are important too. You will study, or we'll bring in some more information about those things later, or even as you have hopefully went into the syllabus and hopefully maybe even all the way read through it. Now, I brought it down kind of like this with what was said in that paragraph. I think what's important there is, first of all, it talks about that there will be knowledge. There's biblical qualifications. Then we could number this. Thirdly, there is spiritual gifts. And there is a difference in spiritual gifts. And number four would be skills and talents. They are different, but yet God can use our skills and talents. And I believe that spiritual gifts and skills and talents can complement one another.
Yes.
They can definitely complement one another. And then, of course, education. Anybody against education?
No.
Well, you're free to leave, but leave your offering. Okay. All right. And then experience. Now, some of us might say, well, I don't have experience, or you don't have experience in certain areas. Well, the beautiful thing about that is sometimes even bad experiences or situations that may have been a challenge, or even things that we may do that is not something that on the normal we would do, God may be establishing some experience in us that will help equip us in where our actual calling is. The word in the next paragraph before I go to page 27, it says, but the most important things for leaders, and I would put a star on this, I'd underline this, I'd circle it, I'd do something. Because I'm going to tell you, this is a test question. But the most important thing for leaders, and really we should say it like this, the most important thing for anyone, a believer, is to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's the most important thing, is to be anointed. Without the anointing of God, you cannot be effective, you cannot effectively lead, organize, and mobilize, and evangelize. So we need to realize that there'll be more focus on the anointing of the Holy Ghost, or this chapter focuses more about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which is necessary for all those called and chosen by God for leadership. And with that, I believe it's important that we understand what the word anointing means, or the word anoint. It means to dedicate or consecrate someone or something by applying oil. And of course, all of us know this. Oil is symbolic. It's one of those things of several. Excuse me. That oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if some of you have read or are reading Sister Sheila Kay's book. I'm reading it now about the Holy Spirit within you. I can't remember the three things right off the top of my head. And of course, she even lists us those things that we probably know from Scripture over all that water, fire, wind, those are some of them, dove. I'm going to miss some off the top of my head. But we definitely realize that oil is a symbolic of that of the Holy Spirit. Now, the name Christ itself, the name Christ from the Greek language is Christo, and it means the anointed one. Jesus introduced his earthly ministry by proclaiming, and Jesus said these words himself, that Luke pens for us, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. Jesus didn't say he gave me Mary and Joseph to be my mother and dad. He didn't say I was born in Bethlehem. I mean, he may have said that sometime or another. But he made the proclamation that he knew was the credence of who he was and why he was here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me. And then he goes on and he clears up with this furtherance of that verse. And I broke it down into six things. And actually, this is whole man ministry. This is the whole man ministry. It is to preach the gospel to the poor. And I've got that numbered as one and underlined. Heal the brokenhearted. 2. 3, preach the deliverance to the captivities. 4, recovering of sight to the blind. 5, to set at liberty them that are bruised. 6, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And the beautiful thing about it was Christ acknowledges I was anointed to do all these things. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And with that, that's why I state Jesus came to do a whole man ministry. He came to minister to all the aspects of mankind. And that's important. And he wants us to be anointed, that we follow in his steps and we do the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're on page 27, if you like.
Mine's not.
Hers, some of the books remember the last time the pages.
Yeah, we had problems.
Okay, so what page would mine be? What are y'all on exactly? What's the name of it?
The anointing to lead.
Anointing's at the top of it. It just says anointing.
The anointed one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's 31.
Yeah, the anointed one. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I was looking, I was like, that's why I was looking in the book. I was looking at 27. I'm like, something not right. And I missed all that stuff you were saying, but that's okay.
All right, if you need, we can come back to it.
Okay, that's all right.
Listen. Okay, I think that it's very important what is stated under this particular passage of Scripture. And I have highlighted it, and I've said with an explanation point, this is a key point. It was necessary for Jesus to be anointed to minister when it is necessary, or then it is necessary for us also. So if it was necessary for Jesus, and remember, Jesus actually grew in stature and wisdom. And actually, he was anointed because he was in the flesh. Remember that, even though he was the Son of God. The anointing increased in him. Mm. All right, as we move on page 27, hopefully, or the three anointings, let me say it that way. This is a test question.
Hold on,
now,
Grandma.
Let me emphasize there's going to be places where we're going to bring out several things, and there are going to be those questions where you're answering several things. So it's like, what was it, question 9? You've got maybe 6 blanks there. I can't remember. I know one of the last ones is 3. Okay, so our syllabus is telling us that, and he talks about 3 anointings that are mentioned in the Old Testament. Now, that doesn't mean that they've passed. Because of the significance of these anointings, I honestly believe that we need to see the significance of why they're important in us being leaders, us being biblically responsible with that of biblical management and the principles that we're teaching and learning. The first one has to do with relationship, and it's the leopard's anointing. Mm-hmm. Now, immediately, there is a opposite that we could say here. When we think about leprosy, that breaks relationship, doesn't it? If you're a leopard, you're outside the city. You're outside. You're in a camp. Yeah, you're looked down upon. Okay. So that's why I think it's important that we make the emphasis of the leopard's anointing is relationship. And of course, we all realize or should that there is the symbolic thought about leprosy being considered that of sin. Or I'm not saying leprosy itself is sin, but leprosy represents sin. Leprosy is a dreaded disease. And actually, it's a slow-dying disease. And as I've already stated, one of the other sides of it is, it's not like you're going to be probably finishing your days if you don't have a healing of it. And we know there was healings in the scriptures, you know, even without your family. Other leopards probably become your family. Mm-hmm. What comfort you get if they've got a limb to, or a shoulder for you to lean on. And I don't mean that, I mean it's sad, but it's just what it is. Mm-hmm. And in consideration of relationship. The Old Testament times, a person with leprosy was called a leopard. And leprosy would slowly eat at the physical body and would most of the time die of a painful death. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think we can relate it to that of the nature of sin because of the detrimental fact of what sin does. And it's a killer. It's a killer. Now, I hope that you will, if you haven't, read Leviticus chapter 14. In your Bible before proceeding with this lesson or even after we've done this lesson, if you have it, and it gives the instruction for the cleansing of a person with leprosy. And there was those that would have to appear to the priest and those kind of things, and they would go through the process, and there was those that were healed. And, of course, we know Jesus healed lepers. Let me just throw something out here. You remember the time that Jesus healed 10 leopards?
Yep.
He told them to go to the priest and show themselves, did he not?
Yes.
Yes,
all right. Let me give you something to chew on, and you may already know this, but if you don't, one of them returned and did what?
Thanks.
Okay. All right. I know every one of us have heard the question, what about the other 9? Why didn't they return? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I believe there that I can understand to be is more than likely this one was a Gentile.
his high priest was standing in front of him. His priest was standing in front of him because it would not have been necessary per se for him to go to the priest. That's what is taught by some Jewish rabbinical.
Hmm.
Wow.
And I thought that was interesting. You can chew on it. You can throw the bones out or whatever. Okay. There was three things that are definitely mentioned, or is there four? There's four things mentioned in the scriptures there that ties in with the passage of scripture there in Leviticus chapter 14. And it talks about how this cleansing experience, each of the instructions you just read are symbolic of the cleansing you must experience spiritually. So there was the bird that was bearing away the guilt of sin. This is symbolic of Jesus shedding his blood to bear away your sin. And of course, Jesus died outside the city. Mm-hmm. And even when they did the sacrifices on the Day of Atonement, or the day they would take one and they would take it to the wilderness. And they would place their hands on that lamb or that goat, and they would actually transfer the sins, and then they would place it out the city, and more than likely that animal perished. But it was to signify the sin's gone. It's out of our presence. Then repentance and confession. This is what you must do to be born again and cleansed from sin. Washing water or running water. This is a symbolic of, water baptism. And then the anointing oil. This is symbolic of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Note that the oil was to be placed on the ear, the thumb, and the toe of the leopard. Mm. Applying this to leadership, we must experience the similar spiritual anointing of the ear, the hand, and the toe. And I like what is in your syllabus. I don't know if you've ever been to an ordination service where you have actually seen someone being credentialed that they actually done this. And I have been in some and have participated. And matter of fact, I'll share this. Because each one of us, we have little things that we do, and I do it most every day, and you can follow suit. You don't have to, but I don't do it as a ritual. I do it as a fresh thought of being anointed. I take oil in the morning, mm-hmm. and most of the time in the morning after I shower, and I anoint my head, and like this. I mean, I don't dab oil on, but and then my lips. Yeah, because I tell you what, if anything needs to be anointed, this does.
Amen.
To say what needs to be said and mm-hmm. say what need not be said.
Oh, yes.
And then these two things, that they work. And then I'll just reach down and, do this, mm-hmm. in my hands, And, even right then is a good time if there's another area in your body that you need to pray over or whatever, anoint it too. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Anoint your liver, it might quiver. All right. You might have to go to the medical book and find where the liver's at. All right. So here we see the symbolic of this, but I think it's important because it says the ear to remind us that we need to hear from God or hear God's voice. The hands, we serve. Our feet take us. And folks, I'm going to tell you, you start having toes chopped off, it will affect your balance.
It will.
It will affect your balance. Mm-hmm. And if your balance is affected, it's going to affect your walk. So take that in a spiritual significance. If we don't have the proper anointing even to our feet, we can stumble.
That's good.
Think about that.
The toes helps grip the floor or grip the ground, yeah.
Okay.
Because I know somebody that had their toes cut off not too long ago, and they had to walk flat on top of their feet, and they couldn't hardly get to where they were getting because the toes were missing.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. God created all of our
for a reason.
For all of our parts. Amen. I guess that's one time the big toe could talk to your eye and say, "Hey, baby, you better listen. You better take care of me. You better watch where you're taking me, because I'll tell you what, get stumped right, you might not be able to go and see some things." Okay. The most important anointing for the leader is the leopard's anointing. Now, that doesn't sound good, does it? I mean, who wants to have to go through leprosy? Well, we've already been through it.
Mm.
Come on. Actually, it's making the acknowledgement here that
The leper's anointing is talking about being born again, mm-hmm. being able to hear God's voice, serve mm-hmm. him, and walk in proper relationships. So we see these three anointings are very important because it's stating that we have a born again experience. And if we're going to be a spiritual leader, that is ultimate, that we must be born again. Because our spiritual walk with the Lord and then especially going into the gifts and the operation of that, of things in the kingdom service and then going into ministry, we need people that are not looking for a profession, but they're looking for something that is a calling.
Yes, amen.
It's a calling God's called them to do and God equips.
Mm-hmm.
Under the next point is the priest anointing. And this is for holiness. This is for sanctification. This is for being set apart.
Yes.
And in Exodus 29 and 30 and Leviticus 8, before proceeding in this lesson, it's encouraged that you've read it. The priestly anointing was an anointing for holiness, being set apart to God for his service by right living and behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the next paragraphs, it talks about the Old Testament times. There were many things that a priest could not do because of the holiness of his office. Because of his special anointing to lead, some things would defile a priest which might not defile other members of the congregation of Israel. Let me just say it this way. A priest was not going to be an undertaker.
That's right.
He's going to defile himself.
That's right.
But yet, being an undertaker or a funeral director can be a ministry. It can be an occupation,
mm-hmm.
but it can be a ministry.
Amen.
It can be a ministry. So we find there were things that were not going to be appropriate. Now, there may be some area here that we can consider, and we have to be biblically sound, but let me just throw this out. If you saw your pastor coming out of a bar and he's not stumbling, mm-hmm. he's not looking like he's intoxicated, well, your first response is going to be, what is he coming out of that place for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, you pass by about the same time every day and you see it every day. Well, you know, if I haven't already said something to him or her, I'm not going to call the deacon board. I'm not going to call this, that, and the other. I'm going to speak because I might not know.
Right.
And I may have said this to one of the classes before. One of my favorite movies, it's an old movie, is Angel in My Pocket, Andy Griffith. And I'm not going to go into all the details about that movie, but Andy goes to this town that's in pretty bad shape. And before he leaves, the church blows up. And I mean, I'm talking about literally blows up, explodes. But anyway, let me get to my point. The church needed a new organ. And there was a saloon, I believe it was, in this town, and he goes there because they want to give it to the church. But two ladies in the church. Okay, ladies, I'm not talking about you guys. Y'all are Holy Ghost filled, and you anointed your tongue this morning. Okay. So me and Brother Tenney, we're not picking on the ladies this morning. But there, because some men talk more than men, women. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. I got one friend that me and him talk just about every day. And says, you two are worse than women. And she said that. I didn't. Okay. All right. So anyway, these two ladies, they start the gossip. We saw the new pastor coming out of the bar saloon. Well, they didn't know why. Why? Get your facts before you start making accusations.
Amen.
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 But it's not an appropriate place for a man or a woman of God to be. Come on, let's just get real.
Amen.
You know. So, but there again, there was things, and I think there is a level of consideration as we are in places of responsibility. We need to count ourselves. We need to take accountability because it can cause confusion. It can cause offense. It can cause a possibility of downfall. Okay, let's move on. All right, When I look at these paragraphs here, it says, because of this special anointing to lead, some things would defile a priest, which might not defile other members. Okay. Then the next paragraph talks about, as a leader, you must experience the priestly anointing for holiness to be set apart for the service of God. Now, I don't know about you, and I do believe that being born again and sanctified and being filled with the Spirit of God is three different experiences. Mm-hmm. It does not mean that it all has to be, well, I got saved 2 years ago, and I got sanctified 5 minutes ago, and I'm still praying for the Holy Ghost. It can happen just like that.
You can fall just like that.
Exactly. And here's another thing to think about. I do believe in the life of believers, there is a moment where many people have to come to that place that there is a surrender.
Yeah.
And it is a work of sanctification. But folks, let me just make a statement, and if I'm theologically off, you can go to Dr. Connor and he can straighten me out. When you get saved, that's part of sanctification. If not, you're not saved.
Amen.
There is a work of sanctification that takes place in your life right there, and it's a progressive work.
Mm-hmm.
It is a progressive work.
That's right.
But see, if we're not careful, especially in the Pentecostal realm, we make it a work. Well, I've been sanctified. Well, I hope you have. And if you're saved, you are.
Amen.
But I've got problems and questions, and I'm even going to question my own life if we're still not walking in sanctification.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. If it's not a progressive operation. Now, I wrote three things here, if it makes any sense after I've said all that. Have you ever wrote yourself a note and then you're beginning to wonder, what did I say? Okay. Actually, I've wrote here exemptions. I wrote exemption, so therefore, if I'm understanding what I was thinking in that moment that I was looking at this, there was things the priest had to exempt himself from. And then secondly, there was the exceptional. There was the exceptional. Things that would be unusual. Unusual. Now, we know that he would have had to exempt himself from touching a dead body. But there might have been some things that are unusual. All right, and then thirdly, I'll read that last paragraph. As a leader, you must experience the priestly anointing of holiness to be set apart for the service of God. You must live in harmony with God's word. There may be things you cannot do because of holiness of your office. Because of your special anointing to lead others, there are things that will defile you which might not defile others. So I believe here's what we need to look at, and this is what I wrote. Things that could possibly be ethical. And when we say ethical, they're moral. They're moral issues, and it will give us the understanding of what moral is, what is righteous and what is virtuous.
Mm-hmm.
Virtuous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I don't watch TV. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I don't watch a movie occasionally. But me and Janice are very, very, very selective.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And if you don't think we're selective, we're going through the Little House on the Prairie right now.
Oh, well, the entire collection.
So
that and the Waltons.
Oh, I love
and the Waltons. We're very selective. Now, see, even the Waltons. And here's one of my pet peeves. And I shouldn't do this. We're on video. Okay. One of my pet peeves is even God on faith-based, and we have a faith-based app. You don't see no tobacco. You don't see people crawling into bed with one another.
Mm-hmm.
But just this looseness with alcohol.
Uh-huh.
On Christian base.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The sisters.
Yeah.
You know, so, I think that some of this is it may have to be personal. It may have to be where we're at,
yeah.
You know, where we're at. We have kind of a rule in our house.
Mm-hmm.
that if we sit down and we watch something that we think and we looked at maybe what it's going to say ahead, and it looks like, okay, I think this is going to be good. We got the one word rule. Mm-hmm. You might say D one time or H.
Yeah,
that's with us too. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you what really tears me up.
God's name and day.
When you're watching something and it looks wholesome, it looks like, man, this is a looks good like story. And all of a sudden, for no reason, is what you said.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to tell you what. I don't want to just move to the next. Whatever we can find, I want to jerk the TV and throw it out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's about how
we'll bust it in
somewhere between that. Trying to be sanctified and, mm-hmm. be, and not get unsanctified.
Right.
You know, because TV didn't do it. So these are things, we have to be, attentive to the Spirit of God.
Very careful.
We have to be very careful.
Yeah.
Very careful.
And people think it's okay.
Exactly.
But I've never understood it. I know pastors that will watch stuff like that. And I just don't understand.
It gets in your spirit.
Yeah, because then you hear it and mm-hmm. you could say it. It's just the way I believe. I've never believed in watching that stuff. I think it's very important.
And I promise you, if you don't believe this, I think I sleep well, and I told you earlier, but I believe what we put in mm-hmm. our minds mm-hmm. before we go to bed, mm-hmm. we'll have a play. Can't
yes,
have a play. And I sleep pretty well, but I do believe that I'm very sensitive to things.
I am too, yeah.
And I've actually had one time years ago, and I know, and I cannot watch anything that is going to, and I'm not talking about real violent, but we were watching something on television one night, and I don't know if it was a crime scene or it might be even Dateline, I can't remember. And the next thing I know, Janice is waking me up. I'm having a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm dreaming.
Yep.
And on my right side, there's a window, our bedroom window. And literally in my dream, apparently, the way I was laying, I didn't hurt her, but I all of a sudden just moved my hand, and I hit her, and it woke her up. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not making any sounds. I'm not screaming or anything like that. But as soon as she said, Harry, I knew what was going on. In my dream or whatever it was, I literally had in my dream that window coming down, and that's what happened. When I hit her, that's what happened. I had the window, and there was a man coming in my window,
mm-hmm.
and I went just like that on him, and I woke up because she spoke. Well, I said that. Now, that's not real. That didn't happen.
Right.
But what I had watched
got in your mind.
It was in my mind before I went to bed.
Uh-huh.
That's why we have to be careful with these things. I know we extended this a little bit with what we've said here. So we have to. So I don't watch things like that I know they're going to affect me. Even that simple, even though it was not bloody, it was not gory, it was whatever, but still, it was there.
I can't watch Dateline either. I'll dream crazy stuff on it. My imagination is wild.
I like lawyer stuff. I like case stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things I will not watch. There's stuff, and I'm not going to go into it with this being on. There's a lot of the series that's been out here for years. I will not watch them because of the crime and the roughness and the language.
Right.
So, but that's something that you're going to have to establish with the Lord.
Right.
But there again, there is the moral, the righteous, the virtue that we've got to keep because we need that priestly anointing. And then there's the leader's anointing, which is a position and power. The third type of anointing in the Old Testament is the leader's anointing. It was an anointing for those who would guide God's people as leaders, such as, and it gives these things, the prophets, the kings, even captains, because even Saul, I believe it was, and David was called the captain of the Lord's people. And really, that's a reference of what Christ is to us, because he's the captain of our salvation. He's the captain of our salvation. The leader's anointing was one which established a leader's God-given position
and gave him the power to fulfill that position. Now, there's an example here. It talks about Saul, and it mentions the position of captain. And actually, if you go to the Greek, and there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, where it says that he is the captain of our salvation. No, that's chapter 2 and verse 10, I'm sorry. Hebrews 2 and 10. And it talks about him being the captain of our salvation. If I remember the Greek word, it's archegos. Archegos, and the word archegos means the first in rank. Now today, if we were talking about naval, we'd be all the way up to admiral. If we're talking about the armed forces, in some of the armed forces, we'd be talking about generals. So the rank would have been captain. So there's the importance of seeing where this leadership anointing is. God is saying, I'm placing you in a place of first rank, and you have a responsibility. Now, another good example of this is before they went in, even though he had took the leadership, Joshua had took the leadership of the house of Israel to bring them on into the promised land, and eventually they're right there fixing to go to Jericho. Mm-hmm. And God's already promised them that that's theirs. But before you get to that, one of the last things is the Lord of hosts appears to Joshua in chapter 5, those last few verses there. And Joshua wants to know if he's for us or against us. But really what took place, there was a briefing that took place there. It was a military briefing of the commander that was considered the first in rank for the house of Israel, but the Lord of hosts, which is Jesus Christ, is standing there.
Ooh.
Think about that. They're having a briefing. They're having a briefing, which would be normal. And so we see that in the Old Testament. So the importance of this is how that we even see with Saul. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it on his head or upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? And I will tell you, that's some powerful words. When the man of God speaks over you and he says, the leader's anointing, well, that's the writer. He says in the verse, he says, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee? And we find Samuel's pouring the oil, but Samuel even has to recognize this goes beyond me just making the symbolic of pouring this oil on this man. Is it not the Lord that's doing this?
Yes.
And he goes on and he says in this verse, and the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. And then we find the anointing of David is recorded in 1 Samuel 16. And this is a word of exhortation, a word of caution to us. We can be anointed for the appointment, but here's where a lot of times, if we're not careful, and it's not just age, and I'll pick on Meredith because she's the youngest person in the room, and I believe she's the anointed of the Lord. And I believe the Lord has anointed her for things that she's stepping and walking in now, but there is already some anointing on her for things yet. The same thing for us that may be a little older. And you know, a lot of people would say, well, Harry, you need to go on out to the pastor. You're over 65 years of age. No, I'm gonna rust out, burn out, and rapture out.
Yes.
Amen. That's my plan. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is God has anointed us. We may not be walking in that appointment right now, but if we're not careful, we will allow the flesh, you know where I'm going with that, to intervene, and we begin to try to work things. What we see is David's faithfulness, even though prior to when the time for the kingdom would come, he was already anointed to be the king. The appointment was already made, but he was not in the appointment. He had not step into it, even though he was already appointed.
Wow, that's so good.
The anointing of David is recorded in the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel. So he, David's father, sent and brought him in, and all of us know what happened. Samuel went through all the sons. And I hate to say this, and I want to be, Samuel, I mean this well, buddy, okay? He still had, I look at that, and sometimes I think, Samuel still had some physical mentality here going on.
Yeah.
Because he started looking at each one of these boys and, okay. And see, Saul was the one that was head and shoulders to everybody else. And that's why the Word of God says God doesn't look at the appearance. He looks at the intent of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Even the man of God, the prophet, had to learn something that day.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel, you can be obedient and pour the oil out, but I'm the one that calls them, and I'm the one that's going to select.
Yeah.
And it's not how pretty they are, or how ugly they are, or how big they are, or how strong they are. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Now, I want to read this, and this is Bishop Harry's translation. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David, and he ran back to the sheepfold, and he was faithful, and he grew in wisdom and in stature, and the anointed, and he continued till he stepped into that appointment of being the king.
Ooh.
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm glad I got that recorded, because I sure couldn't say that again at the moment. All right. The leader's anointing was to impart the position, power, and authority of the office. With this anointing, God's Spirit came upon a person so he could properly lead God's people. And, of course, we see that promise. We see it being carried out in the New Testament for the church in Acts 1:8. Did they not go about witnessing? Did they not go about and lay hands on the sick and those things before Acts 1:8? Did they not?
Jesus told them to go out and do it.
Jesus told them.
Yes.
The anointing was walking with them.
Yeah.
The anointing had not been poured out, but the anointing was walking with them.
Yes. That's right.
In the Old Testament, the anointing came upon them. In the New Testament, the anointing dwells in us.
That's right.
Thank God for that. Thank God for that transition.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. Listen, all those other places listed by geographical names are important, but I want you to get it in your spirit, the uttermost part of the earth.
Yes.
I can preach on that right now.
Amen.
Concentrate on where the uttermost parts of the earth are, or whatever your uttermost part of where God is leading and directing and has anointed you.
Mm-hmm.
It may be going through some of these, literally, and it may be in the geographical. We look at home and getting a little broader, and then geographically expanding with Samaria,
mm-hmm.
and then the othermost parts anywhere. And your uttermost might be next door.
Amen. Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the sometimes I look at that word, it's what we are not conscious of, that God wants to shake us, wake us up, that I want to do something, and I want to use you there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you this, and we'll get ready to take a break here. If we can, I think we can finish this page. Several years ago, it's been several years ago, I did some security work, and most of it was PR, public relations, and there was people that couldn't come into the building unless they went through the right proper procedure, and I was responsible for that. And there was a young man, he was in the housekeeping department. And me and him got to know each other a little bit, and he knew I was a minister, and anyway, he come by one day, and most of the time he would speak to me, or sometime at lunch, I'd speak to him, and so anyway, he come by one day, and his first name was Robert. I'll never forget him, and I've seen him a few times over the years, but anyway, Robert just stops right in front of me, because I'm standing at the door, and I'm having to observe what's going on, and take care of what's needed to business-wise, and with my security responsibilities. And he says, preacher, he says, I want to talk to you. And I said, okay, all right, fine, Robert, when? He said, what about lunchtime? I said, fine. I said, I'll meet you. He never showed up. He never showed up at lunch in the break area, so I didn't think nothing about it. You know, I thought, well, I did. But this is what kept coming in my mind, even when I come back to my place that I needed to after lunch, was, I wonder what Robert wants to talk to me about. Mm-hmm. All these different things started pondering through my mind. And here he was, a young man in his early 20s, and I thought, oh, you reckon he's going to get married? For him to say, preacher, you know, maybe he wants to ask me if I'd, you know, perform a ceremony, this kind of thing. All these kind of little silly, crazy, important things were going through my mind. Well, anyway, he come back through sometime before the evening, and he said, preacher, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I got tied up, went to lunch late, didn't get there. He says, could I talk to you when you get off of work this evening? And we usually got off within about 30 minutes of each other. I said, sure. I met him down in the break area, and there was shift change, and the place is packed. The place is packed. Mm. We find a place to sit down. He's sitting across from me. And, you know, it was a little short conversation, but really it was almost getting to the point. And I just looked at him and I said, Robert, what do you have on your mind? You're not going to believe what came out of that young man's mouth. He said, preacher, I want to get right with God. That was one of those uttermost moments. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't know what the expression on my face was, but it was not what I expected. Mm. I want to get right with God. Well, I had never had any long, intensive, biblical, or theological, or conversations with this young man. And I'm going to say this, and I don't say it with pride, but I hope it was. We carry an anointing, hopefully.
Yeah.
Sometimes yes. Not what we speak.
Yes.
And that young man, and I bet you there was 40 or 50 people sitting in that break area, he bowed his head and gave his heart to the Lord.
Praise God.
And the last time I ran into him, he was still serving Jesus. Still serving Jesus, and if I'm not mistaken, he was a deacon, and he was a black young man, and I never did get to meet his pastor, and I believe he was already a deacon in that church several years later. So God will put us in places, and if we're not careful, we will take the anointing as something, and it is special, but some kind of promotion.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants us to look beyond the promotion. He wants us to look at what the position is that will meet and accomplish what is needed for His kingdom. Hallelujah. All right, the leader's anointing was to impart the position, power, and authority of the office. With this anointing, God's Spirit came upon a person so he could properly lead God's people. Then, of course, we've read Acts 1:8. Let's try to summarize this. The fulfillment of this promise is recorded, of course, in Acts 2, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the New Testament fulfillment of the leader's anointing of power. And then, of course, we have our opening key verse to this particular curriculum. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, Ephesians 4:11. And I think it's important that we read this. God has anointed certain people to leadership positions in the church and has provided the anointing power to equip them to fulfill their callings. It is about 15 after. Some of our folk may be taking a break just a little bit later, but I'll let y'all go ahead if you're ready. We'll take about a 10, try to get back in by 10:30, and we'll go to lunch time.